Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 30th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Fatherhood actually causes testosterone to go down.
People who have an AA profile were less likely to be optimistic and somewhat more likely to be depressed.
Sweet, salty, umami, and bitter taste are each represented in their own hotspots. And these hotspots are clearly arranged in a map that's reproducible from animal to animal.
This week, rethinking sex and math, locating taste in the brain, and the effects of fatherhood on testosterone levels. But first, correspondent Justin Warner tells us how researchers are pushing the bounds of artificial intelligence with football.
Football coaches often study footage from past games to refine their strategy. Now a computer can do the same sort of thing. Argonne State University computer scientist Alan Fern and his colleagues are behind it. Their goal is to create artificial intelligence that can analyze complex visual scenes.
A lot of people might not realize this, but computers are actually very bad today at understanding the visual world. So just setting a camera up and hooking it up to a computer, having it stare at a street, there's nothing that can reliably track all the people and understand what those people are doing, what their interactions are.
To work on the problem, they decided to teach a computer about football using real footage from past Argonne State games. Fern says football makes a good test case because it's relatively controlled, yet highly complex.
There's 22 people on the field, not including the referees, and they're all occluding each other, doing different activities, banging into each other. And there's no computer system today that can understand all of this as well as a small child.
Fern's team programmed the computer to track and analyze passing plays.
And it eventually learned the typical things that seem to work or not work. And it was able to use that information to design plays in a video game that it played. And basically what the end result was is this computer was able to design much better plays after having watched all of this previous video than plays it could design without watching any of that video.
He says the current program still couldn't outwit a serious fan, much less a Vince Lombardi. But with further refinements, it may pave the way for algorithms that can analyze the movements of all kinds of groups, from shoppers in a store to soldiers on the battlefield.
Thanks, Justin. Men often perform better than women on visual spatial tasks, but biology alone may not explain it. University of California at San Diego researcher Moshe Hoffman and his colleagues studied two genetically similar tribes from Northeast India. The Karbi society is male-dominated, but among the Khasi, women inherit property and anchor households. People from each tribe were given a visual spatial puzzle.
And your task is to take these pieces, which are all jumbled together, and to put them together to make a face. So it really requires having to kind of visualize how the pieces will put together if you rotate them. And so what we find is that among the Karbi, it takes women significantly longer than men, I think something like 1.5 times as long, whereas among the Khasi, there's no gender difference.
Education proved to be an advantage in both groups. Hoffman says this suggests that society may play a bigger role in this gender difference than we thought. Next, Suzanne tells us how a brain hormone may affect depression and optimism.
Having a particular variant of a gene that controls the hormone oxytocin may influence how optimistic a person is. This according to UCLA social neuroscientists Shimon Sapphire Bernstein and Shelley Taylor. Taylor says the oxytocin receptor gene has two variants. The researchers found that volunteers with two copies of the adenine, or A form of the gene, tend to have a different outlook on life than those with two copies of the guanine, or G form of the gene.
People who have an AA profile were less likely to be optimistic and somewhat more likely to be depressed.
She emphasizes that while the findings were robust, people with the A variant of the gene can learn techniques to help them deal with stress and depression successfully. She adds that developing strong social bonds can also help counteract the gene variant's influence on a person's outlook.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Justin tells us that fatherhood may affect a man's hormone levels.
When a man becomes a dad, his future includes more responsibility and less testosterone. This according to Northwestern University anthropologist Lee Gettler and his colleagues. His team was building on past research, which found that fathers tend to have lower testosterone levels than similar childless men. But the reason for the difference wasn't clear.
So the question remained whether men with low testosterone were simply more likely to become fathers, or whether fatherhood sort of caused a decline in testosterone once men became parents.
Gettler's team followed more than 600 men in the Philippines from age 21 to 26. All of them started out single, but those who ended up becoming fathers in the ensuing 5 years experienced greater drops in testosterone than those who didn't.
Because they started as single non-fathers and we were able to track all of them through time, that tells us that fatherhood actually causes testosterone to go down rather than men with low testosterone simply being more likely to become fathers.
The drops were steeper still among dads who made significant contributions to childcare. As to why this happens, Gettler says the jury's out, but the findings are consistent with animal data, which suggests that testosterone promotes competitive behaviors that are useful for finding a mate, but possibly counterproductive for parenting.
Thanks, Justin. In a landmark psychological study, preschoolers were given a choice. They could eat one treat now or two treats later. Kids who could wait longer had fewer behavioral problems and higher SAT scores years later. Recently, Stanford psychologist Ian Gottlieb and his colleagues studied some of the same people, now in their 40s. The subjects' relative willpower was still consistent with their 4-year-old selves, and that related to differences in brain activity.
The differences in activation seem to be in areas of the brain that are responsible for the regulation of emotion, that are responsible for cognitive executive control.
The most impulsive subjects not only had lower activity in the control centers, but stronger responses in the emotional centers. The results also suggest that people with addictions or self-control issues may also feel pleasure more intensely than others. Finally today, Suzanne tells us how scientists are locating the centers of taste in the brain.
Why does a sweet orange taste so different from a bitter grapefruit? The answer may lie in a part of the brain called the insular cortex. Neuroscientist Nick Reba of the National Institutes of Health and his colleagues Xiao Kei Chen and Charles Zucker of Columbia University measured brain activity in mice as they were given different substances. Specific areas of the brain lit up for 4 of the 5 known tastes.
Sweet, salty, umami, and bitter taste are each represented in their own hotspots. And these hotspots are clearly arranged in a map that's reproducible from animal to animal.
Strangely, the researchers were unable to locate a set of neurons in the insular cortex that respond to sour tastes. They speculate that the acids in sour foods may stimulate nerves in the mouth other than just the taste buds, and so might actually be represented in a different part of the brain.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll have more exciting stories from the world of science. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.